certainly good to see everyone here again this evening. It's especially good to have visitors in our midst. We're glad that you took the time to come and be with us. It is good to see young faces, get to visit a little bit with folks that we've known a long time ago. Some of y'all don't know them, but I've known them a little while. But it's good to hear all those voices joining together and praising God as well and singing songs. And I hope that you glean from those songs the messages as intended, and that they will be a benefit and help to you. And I hope that the lesson we're going to have this evening is a benefit to you. While it may not teach you anything exactly new, hopefully it will give at least some of you an idea of what might need to be done or some of the things you can do when you go to consider doing a word study. I made mention a few times in Bible class and other lessons that if you really want to understand all that the Bible has to say about a particular topic, then one of the best things to do is to get you a dictionary and see how that word's defined, and then go look at all the passages throughout the pages of Scripture that deal with that topic, so that you can get an overall understanding of how it's used. And we're going to use the word ekklesia this evening in doing that. And I choose the Greek word ekklesia rather than the English word church or assembly, because that's the word that's in the original text, and it is translated both church and assembly. And there has been some question among some as to how it's used and what its purpose is and such, and there's been some adjusting of the definition that we need to be careful of. And I think it's good for us to go back and look sometimes at what the base word is that we find in the Scripture to help us better understand. This word is not one that's really hard to understand and recognize. The reason I use this one, because it is so easy to look at the definitions and see how it compares to how the English word is used. Doing easy things and being able to go through that process with easy things can help us to do it with more difficult situations later on, with other things that might give us some problem and some difficulty. Now, I've got Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 up there, where Jesus said, "I will build my church." We made reference to that this morning when we were talking about the mission of the church. We also referenced Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, where God put all things in subjection under the feet of Christ and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And we will see that scripture again, or make mention of it again, as we go through the lesson, certainly. But that tells us what the church is. And that's one of the things I want to mention that verse to start with, because that's one of the things we need to keep in mind. No matter what definitions we might find from the dictionaries, no matter what we might find as we go look up the Strong's definition or the Thayer's or the Vine's or whatever, we need to remember that the best place to get an understanding of how a word is used is to go back to the Word of God and let it define and show us what that word is talking about. And I hope that we're able to do that this evening as we consider these things. But it is profitable for us to take some time and consider the definitions of these words. And the word ekklesia is defined by Strong's. Note it says it's from a compound of two different words. And that number, that G1537 and the G2564, is a Strong's number. If you've done much looking up of definitions in your Bible apps, you've probably seen Strong's numbers. Maybe you've got a Strong's that you use at home. But it's a derivative of those two words, a calling out, that is, and it says concretely here, definitely, a popular meeting, especially a religious congregation, Jewish synagogue or Christian community of members on earth or saints in heaven or both. And then you see down here at the end, it's got the dash and it says assembly and church. If you're looking up a Strong's definition, you're going to find that. And what you're seeing there is how that word is used in the Scripture, how it's translated. And sometimes you'll find a big old long list of words that are translated out of a Greek word. Other times you'll just find one or two. But sometimes it's good to see all of those things and it helps to get a better understanding. If you were to look up this word in Thayer's Greek English lexicon, you would find a little more expanded definition there. A gathering of citizens called out from their homes into some public place, an assembly. an assembly of the people convened at a public place of the council, an assembly of the Israelites, a gathering or throng of men assembled by chance or tumultuously. And then Thayer says, in a Christian sense. And sometimes you will find this when you look up these Greek words. You'll see the common definition, and then you'll see how it's used in the spiritual sense or in a Christian sense. An assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. A company of Christians or of those who, hoping for eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, observe their own religious rites, hold their own religious meetings, manage their own affairs according to regulations prescribed for the body for order's sake. Those who anywhere in a city or village constitute such a company and are united into one body. Also means the whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth and the assembly of faithful Christians already dead and received into heaven. And I hope as we go through here and we look at, consider some of these passages where this word is used, you can see where these definitions fit differently in different passages and what it covers and what it talks about. But when we talk about this word, ekklesia, and we consider its meaning, we recognize that over and over what we see in the definition of this word is the idea of assembling. The idea of coming together. And while this particular passage doesn't have the word church or ekklesia in it, you remember Hebrews chapter 10 tells us that we need to make sure we don't stop coming together. And Paul wrote to the Corinthian brother telling them and speaking to them in regards to they all come together in one place. When we look at this word ekklesia, we look at the definitions that are there, we need to recognize that what it's talking about is assembling. And it would do us good to consider what the English word assembling or assembly is defined as. A group of persons gathered together for a common reason, as for legislative, religious, educational, or a social purpose. Now, this is a rather secular definition. It would cover any group. But then so does the word ekklesia. Sometimes we look at these Greek words that we find in the Scripture and we see that this Greek word ekklesia is translated as church and we think, well, it's some special spiritual word. It's some special religious word and doesn't have it, but it does have a common use, and seeing those common uses can help us understand its meaning. Many of the words that we will run into as we go through trying to define words that may be foreign to us or we may not have a full understanding of, we'll find that they're just common words. And that's how we can come to know what the English translation would be for that Greek word. Also want to point out here that there are some who take this Greek word ekklesia and break it into its component parts. And they look, as we made mention in that first definition, that word comes from a combining of two words. The word ek or ek, which means from or out of, and the word kaleo, which was the G2564 number, if you wrote down those Strong's numbers. But anyway, which means to call. And they take those two definitions and put them together to say that the word ekklesia then means called out. We need to be careful of such things. Because while we are called as Christians, and we assemble because of that calling, just because we read the word church doesn't mean that it's making reference to called out specifically. If we were to view this with a common English word, we could maybe see where there could be some problems with this. Take the word propose. Most of us know what the word propose means. To forward or to put forward a plan or an intention, most oftentimes in our lives probably it's used when the man proposes to his future wife or when the future wife proposes to her future husband, whichever the case may have been for you. We understand what that word means, but if you break it down into its component parts, you have the word pro, which most commonly stands for the affirmative side. And then you have the word pose, which means to put or to set in place. If you take and define the word for pose by taking those two definitions and putting them together, you've got a man telling his fiancée what she's going to do. He's making a proposal of he's putting forth into place a plan that he's already decided on. He's affirmatively stating a plan of action. And that's not why we see the word propose. So we need to be careful. It is good sometimes to look at the roots of words, but you might find out when you go searching out roots of words that just because it has pro and pose in it doesn't mean it came from either one of those words. I don't do a lot of, I think they call that etymology, something like that, diving down through the words and figuring out where they came from. But I mention that because the idea of us being called out is certainly an idea found in Scripture. And some have taken that word ekklesia and promoted it as this idea of called out to the exclusion of the understanding that we're talking about the assembly. It's not the calling that this word references, but the togetherness, the being in the same place, gathered for a common reason and for a common purpose. But as stated, if we really want to understand how a word is used in Scripture, the best thing to do is to see where it's used. To look at the Scriptures that use this word and come to an understanding of what is meant in each of those particular instances. And when we look at this word ekklesia, if you've got a concordance or a lexicon, or you've got a Vine's Expository Dictionary or something like that, even a Knave's Topical Bible can help you with these things. You can go and look up and find out every place that this word is used. In fact, if you've got one of those apps on your tablet or your phone, you can just right-click on it and say, show me all the Scriptures where this is used. And it'll show you every single place. And this particular division of these Scriptures came from either a very old computer program that I can't find that I hadn't got access to anymore, or a copy of a book that I don't have. But it does fit the ideas that we want to consider. It does show us a little bit about this particular word and how it's used. And we're not going to go and read all these Scriptures. Like I stated this morning, if you're interested in doing this further, studying these things, outlines and PowerPoints will be on the website sometime first part of this week. And you're welcome to those. I can get them to you tonight if you really want them. Or you can write them all down and take them home and look at them some more. Or go look it up in your own reference books, whichever is better for you. But we do want to look at them sufficiently to get an idea. And the first thing we consider when we think about this word ekklesia and how it's used in the Scriptures, and it's translated church in most instances, we find it used in a singular sense. In the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 1, we read, on that day a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. Now that's talking about the specific assembly of Christians that lived in the region around and in the city of Jerusalem, where the church began. We're in the early parts of the book of Acts there. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 22, once again, it is used to reference the specific congregation in one particular place. Also, we can find it used to reference any number of other named cities. If you notice these Scriptures, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Thessalonians, those in particular reference the groups that they were written to, those last four anyway. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, we see a specific church mentioned. It's not Jerusalem, it's not Judea, but it is the city of Antioch. There were at Antioch in the church that was there. This word is used in a singular sense. It's used in a singular sense to address a particular group. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul, giving instruction to the men who were elders over the church at Ephesus, told them that they needed to take care or take heed to themselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God. Well, we might look at that and say, well, okay, they're supposed to feed all those who are in the church. But when we look at what the work of elders are and all the things that are said about it, and what it says right here, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. It's referencing one single congregation, one assembly. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, once again referencing the church in Antioch, it's making reference to one individual congregation. Even though it's talking about a group of people, it's one group. They met an entire year with the church and taught considerable numbers. These other passages are similar in those statements, talking about a particular group. We also have instances where the universal church, and by the way, we're going to have a lesson here in another couple of weeks to talk about the difference between the universal and the local church, because I think it's important for us to understand that. But we see the word church or ecclesia translated church to make reference to the church as a whole, represented by a local. Great fear came over all the church, or over the whole church, and over all who heard of these things. Now, we do have kind of a unique instance here in Acts chapter 5, because the whole church was the church in Jerusalem at that particular time. But we have these other passages that present this same idea, using a particular individual congregation, talking about it, but in doing so, making a representation of how things would be over the entire church. Then, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, God put all things into subjection under the feet of Christ and gave him head over all things to the church. Well, he's not just talking about the church at Ephesus there. Christ was made head over the entire church. The whole body. All. So we see this word that's been used to reference one single church. In various different places, here it's used to reference the entire church. Over all the world and all of those that are in heaven. The word church is used to represent groups that were meeting in homes. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 5, greet the church that is in their house. We've seen other instances of this as well. This is all looking at the church, this word ecclesia, translated as church in its singular form. Talking about one. While it does reference both universal and local in that one, at various times, context can help us to better understand that. We also see this word ecclesia translated in the plural. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul makes mention, I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea which were in Christ. This word is used to represent the group of churches that were in the region round about Judea. In Galatia, and the church in Galatia is mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 concerning the collection for the saints, as I gave direction to the churches of Galatia. Now, we don't know exactly where those churches of Galatia were located, but we do know that there were more than one there. And the Apostle Paul had correspondence with them and did teaching with them. They're referenced again in Galatians. In fact, the letter was written to the churches of Galatia. Syria and Cilicia are mentioned. He was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Macedonia is mentioned, and the churches there. We know that of at least three groups in Macedonia. The Philippians, the Thessalonians, and the Bereans. They were all in Macedonia. And so, when we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 about the grace of God that's been given to the churches of Macedonia, we can think in our mind, well, he's talking about Philippians, Thessalonians, and Berea. Quite possibly all three or any number of those are the ones he's referencing. Talking about a group of churches still using the same word. Also in the regions around Asia, the churches of Asia greet you, or as written in Revelation chapter 1, the letters to the seven churches of Asia. Maybe not referring to all the churches in Asia, but to those particular seven that were there. We also have recording of the word church used in reference to churches in a general area. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. Which churches? Where? Well, the ones that were being strengthened in the faith. Maybe Antioch, maybe Jerusalem, maybe Ephesus, maybe Thessalonica, maybe Corinth. You can look at the context and help you to better understand exactly what groups he might be talking about. Then we have those that are mentioned that are not in a particular definite region, but it's not all of the individual congregations that are in those regions. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 4, I risk my life for their, or who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Churches of Christ. All the churches. Various terms used referencing a number of churches. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17, we have recorded a use of the word church that makes mention of some, but maybe not all, individual churches. In this manner let him walk, and so I direct in all the churches. Well, as far as we know, Paul had no opportunity to give direction to any churches over in Babylon or wherever else some of the apostles may have gone. He didn't go back to the islands that he had gone to with Barnabas after he and Barnabas split, from what we can tell, other than stopping there a time or two in those general regions when he was going to Rome as a prisoner. But he says, in all the churches. Well, that would be all the churches that he's associated with. So, when we look at this word church, this word ecclesia that's translated church in our English Bibles, we see it's used in a number of disparate instances, and as we consider the context in each one of these areas, it can help us to understand how this word church is used. And I think by looking at all these passages, and like I said, we're not going to go and read all these passages this evening, but by looking at all these passages, each one of us can come to an understanding that when the word church is used, it's not talking about a building, for certain. It's not talking about an edifice built somewhere. It's not talking about some man-made organization that's got some kind of hierarchy here on earth. But it's talking about two instances. The entire body of Christ is referred to as the church, the assembly of the firstborn. And individual local congregations. We never hear of a grouping of churches under another sort of rule. All of these instances, even where it names several different congregations with one phrase, the churches of the Gentiles, I direct in all the churches. The text makes it clear that it's talking about individual entities. But I also want us to understand that some of these passages are talking about a church when they're not assembled. In some of these passages, we read about greeting the church that is in their house. Or we read about the churches of Galatia salute you. We read other places where it makes mention of churches in various areas, and it's talking about the people that make up that particular local assembly. Not necessarily while they were together, but because they were an assembly together for God. Because they made up those who were children of God in that particular location. We need to be careful of developing the attitude and understanding of the word church that it only makes reference to us when we are together in one place. We're still a part of the church that meets on Tanner Street when we're out amongst the people of this town. Those who are visiting with us, they're still a part of whatever local congregation they regularly assemble with when they're away from home. Are they assembled with us? Are they fellowshipping with us here? Yes, they are. And conducting themselves accordingly. But they would be identified as members or part of that assembly where they regularly assemble. The word church talks about the group, those who assemble. Yes, the word assembly there, as we look at it in most instances today, has to do with when we are gathered together. But it also makes reference to the people that are in that assembly and the fact that they may assemble on a regular basis. In fact, it would do us good to take a look at the passages where that word ecclesia is translated as assembly rather than as church. And maybe this is one of the instances, one of the reasons why oftentimes we see that word as some kind of special word, some kind of special religious word. We forget that the same Greek word that's translated church in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, is translated assembly in Acts chapter 19. Then some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together. When the town clerk called them down and spoke to them, he said, if you want anything beyond what's already been done, it'll have to be settled in the lawful assembly. After saying these things, he dismissed the assembly. We read in verse 41. That word that's translated assembly there is the same Greek word translated church. And this makes reference to at least two different assemblies. One, the tumultuous rioting assembly that they were a part of, that many just showed up because there was a lot of noise going on. They were assembled together and they were working together for a common cause because they were trying to deal with Paul and with the Christians. But then in verse 39, we have another assembly made mention of, and this seems to be some sort of regular assembly that was done. Because they were told, you'll have to wait until we get the lawful assembly together in order to settle anything else. This assembly won't do that. It's not for that purpose. It can't accomplish that. In fact, it's causing us all kinds of trouble if you read the context there. Come back in the lawful assembly, and we can deal with that. I said at the beginning, this lesson is probably not going to teach you anything of great import that's new. Hopefully it'll give you some insight into some things that you might need to do in order to come to a better understanding of what some particular word or passage has to say and what it's talking about so that you can better understand the Word of God. We need to study God's Word. And as we've stated before, that means doing more than just reading through it on random occasions. That means even more than doing a regular scheduled Bible reading. It means we need to look at what the Word actually says, come to an understanding of what those passages are teaching, so that we can better know how to serve the Lord. We made reference to Hebrews chapter 5 this morning and how the Hebrews were rebuked in that particular passage because they didn't know any more than they already did. Because they were still like babies. Because they had not exercised their senses. They had not spent the time and the word necessary to grow in understanding and knowledge of the Word of God. Therefore, they were rebuked because they weren't able to teach others. The Apostle Peter tells us in his second epistle that we need to grow in the knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His grace and His knowledge. And He gives us instruction that we need to increase, add to our faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and those things. And then He goes on to remind us again that we need to be diligent in our study. Maybe sometimes we're going to have to sit down and look up the definition of some words. We're going to have to sit down and look at how a word is used throughout all of the pages of Scripture, so we can come to a better understanding of how it's used, what it's talking about, being said. Because the Word of God is the only pathway that we have to be right with God. He's revealed to us His will, and if we will read and understand and make application of it in our lives, we can have salvation and be with Him for eternity. James
James tells us we need to be one that doesn't just look into it and forget what it says, but spend enough time with it, as the old King James says, diligence or study. The American Standard says diligence. The old King James says study to show yourself approved. We need to spend enough time with the Word of God so that when we are away from it, it still guides us and leads us down the path of righteousness. Maybe you look this evening, you've been studying the Word of God, and you realize that things in your life are not as they ought to be. You need to set some things right with God. If you're a child of God, you need to pray to God and ask Him to forgive if you have sin in your life so you can be free from that sin. Be able to be pure and clean in His sight and ready when He returns. You need to pray for the congregation, certainly. The congregation will pray with you for you. You never obey the gospel. You're not living by the Word of God. You need to give your life to the Lord. Obedience to His Word. Understanding what it is that He's taught, what He expects of you. And turn your life around so that you follow His Word rather than your own. Confessing and believing in Jesus and turning from your sins. You can be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. Rise up a new creature, a child of God. Whatever your condition, if you look this evening, we can assist you and be right with the Lord. We encourage you to come and listen to you.